Amen. Thank you, ladies. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Pastor is down at Burleson, at Berean Baptist Church, the church that Heritage Baptist Church helped start, or did start. And Brother Jason's out of town. And so Pastor said, you know, I've never preached down there at a church we helped start. And so he wanted to go down there. And I thought that was real good that he had that opportunity. And I'll be there tonight preaching for the leftover people that he doesn't run off. So, and then he'll come back here tonight and preach to the leftover people I didn't run off. So, amen. So, it was a good trade. And anytime I'm able to preach, I'm honored to be able to stand behind this pulpit. And I'm glad Pastor trusts me enough, and I take it with honor. And I don't want to dishonor our Savior first, but I don't want to dishonor our pastor either. And so it's an honor to be behind this pulpit, and I thank God for this church, and I thank God for the Bible. Aren't you glad you got God's Word in your hand? You say, well, I wonder what God's thinking today. Well, let's take a look and see what He's thinking. Amen. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again." I like that. "Again by parables, and said." You say, well, who in the world is He talking to? Well, if you go back to the previous chapter, you'll find that He is talking to the high priest and to the scribes. It seems like He spent a lot of time talking to them, didn't He? Seemed like he spent a lot of time giving them parables and some earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And of course, these parables are very important. We should never look at a parable and say, well, that was for the scribes and for the Pharisees and for the Sadducees and for the high priest. No, these parables are for me and you. The whole Bible's for me and you. We say, well, I don't read the Old Testament. That was for the Jews, for Israel. No, the Old Testament's for you. The New Testament's for you. And I don't know how else to say it. Amen. The Apocrypha is not for you. Some of y'all got that. I was just seeing who was paying attention. All right. Now, I want you to notice on down, the Bible says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Boy, what? How? You know, I thought about this morning. I said, you know, I've spent a lot of time preparing this sermon. And I don't know how many hours I put into it, but I put a few hours into studying and researching and praying over this. And I thought, man, it'd be so sad if I got behind the pulpit this morning and there's nobody there. I may have spent maybe 20 hours, 20-something hours on this sermon. And, you know, that's not a lot compared to what Christ has prepared for you. He said He goes to prepare a place for you. Now, how sad would it be if he says, all right, y'all come. And as the story says here, that a king said, go get them which are bidden to come. And the servants go out and they say, all right, y'all come on. No, we're not coming. Well, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? Yeah. You ever prepared a nice meal, had it waiting on the table, and nobody showed up? It's sad. It kind of hurts you in your heart a little bit, right? Well, can you imagine how this king felt whenever he bid all of these servants to go out and said, bring in all those which are bidden, and they come back and said, now, is there going to be a problem with half of them that came back? Half of them didn't come back. But they come back and said, nobody wants to come. Boy, sad. No, read the rest of the story. It says in verse 4, "Again he sent forth other servants." Now notice this, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner." Right there, I would have said, all right, I'm coming now. Have you ever invited anybody over to your house and not fed them? You know, as Baptists and as Americans, the way we fellowship is, you know, if I would ask Brother Schuller out, I'd say, Brother Schuller, you want to come over to my house? He's going to think that I mean he's coming over to my house to eat immediately. Because that's what we do. If I say, Brother Kelly, I want to take you out somewhere, and I'm not saying the woodshed, I'm saying we want to go out and eat. I'm in. All right, so I mentioned food. Pastor said I had to mention food. Mark that one off. Hey, man. Got it in. So we can go on with this. All of you who know Pastor, he always mentions food in every sermon, right? So I had to do that for him, all right? But notice what happened here. It said, "Tell thee what you're been. I have prepared a dinner. My oxen and the fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But notice verse 5, this story begins to turn. It says, "But they made light of it." People ever make fun of you going to church? I've had people say, why in the world do you waste time going down to that church? They make light of God's house. Well, guess what? They made light of God's people long before me and you came along. And look at what it happens here. It says, and they went their way, one to his farm and another to his merchandise. But notice verse 6. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. They said, you know what? Because you come and you bid us to go to this marriage, and we said no the first time, now the second time, we're going to tell you something else. We're going to slew you. We're going to kill you. We're going to take you and we're going to kill you. By the way, just before this happened, remember who was killed? John the Baptist was beheaded. You know what? I think he's a good picture of what this story is talking about. You know what? There's been a lot of martyrs down through the years, so me and you could be in the house of God today. How many millions and billions of people were killed at the stake, and how many people were killed because of the Bible you hold in your hand, because of the holding up the cross of Christ in America, and all over the world people have been killed. Why? Because the world doesn't like Jesus. And if you've got Jesus in your life, they don't like you. The devil doesn't like you, my friend. Amen. He is your enemy. Now, notice on down to this story, it gets interesting. It says in verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. You look up that word wroth, same word is used in wrath. This is where God's wrath is coming in. Now, notice this. He says, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there was a man that had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. We see in our text this morning a parable of a king who makes a feast for his son. He makes a marriage for his son, and he bids people to come to this wedding. You know what? I'm glad our God has bid us to come. I'm glad that he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that's our invitation to come this morning. I want you to notice in verse 2, if you will, very quickly, I just want to give you some things through this whole parable. Notice the first statement in verse 2. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven. Do you realize this? I didn't know this until I studied this. That 46 times in the book of Matthew, that statement is said. Or the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. You know what I got to thinking about whenever, you know, so many times we read over that, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And you know, I was thinking about this very thing. Is that there can't be a kingdom without a king. There can't be a kingdom without a great king who rules in this kingdom. So this morning I'll preach on this subject, the king's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Lord, we need your help today. God, I need your help today. Father, I have nothing to say of my own, but Lord, I want to speak what the Holy Spirit puts in my heart to say. Now, Father, I ask you to bless your people. I ask that you'd open hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice a few things. Now, notice on down in that same verse, the Bible says, verse 2, it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king. You realize this morning every time your Bible says certain something, you ought to read that. Because in the Old Testament, it means the very same thing as it does in the New Testament. I looked it up in Webster's. I love Webster's, the old one, amen, the Save Webster's Dictionary. That's 1828 or whatever year it was, this old one. But I looked up the word certain, and it means this. It means sure, true, undoubted, unquestionable, that cannot be denied. You know what that tells me? That this certain king is a good picture of Jesus Christ. Because the next statement says, which made a marriage for his son. I believe it's talking about a great picture of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the story takes a sad turn in verse 3. The Bible says, and he sent forth the servants to call them which were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. You know who that mentions of? That's Israel. That's the Old Testament Israel. And I'll give you some verses here in a little bit, but matter of fact, go over to chapter 23. I want to show you this. Chapter 23 and verse 37. 23 verse 37. I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them which are sent unto thee, how often, now notice this, would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Notice what he says, though, and you would not. You realize the Old Testament was God doing this? Now come on, Israel, come to me. He's trying to gather them together. The Old Testament, God's saying, come on, Israel, I'll protect you. I'll be your God if you'll let me be. By the way, God always gives people a choice. God doesn't walk up to you and says, Matt, you're getting saved today. No. God says, Matt, it's available today. Yeah. Brother Joyce, it's available today. You can serve me today, but it's your choice. And God was giving Israel a choice, and He had given them all the preparation. He had given them all of the prophets. He had given them all of His Word, all of His commandments, and He said, come to me. And they said, no. You know what people are doing today? Jesus Christ is saying, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come to me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden? Why don't you come to me? I'll give you rest. Why don't you come? Come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. Now listen, this morning Jesus is saying, come. But what are the people of this world saying? No, we got it taken care of. Boy, how sad is it today? Matter of fact, if you will, look over in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Hold your place in Matthew, but we've got to look at the context of this parable. 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. And I want you to notice what happens in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, remember that the book of Judges was put in our Bible to show us that the people of God, Israel, needed a king. That they needed a ruler. That they didn't need just a judge. They needed a king. And so God brings Samuel on the scene, the last judge. He brings Samuel on the scene so he can anoint a king for Israel here in just a little bit. But before Israel ever wanted a king, before they ever spoke of that, God said, I want to be your king. I want to be the one who rules on your throne. I want to be the one who rules in your kingdom. And here's what the people of God said. Now notice verse 19 of chapter 10 of 1 Samuel. And ye have this day rejected your God. You know what they went to Samuel did? Said, Samuel, we want a king. Samuel said, wait a minute, you have a king. It's called God. No, he's not good enough. We need somebody in person. You know what that reminds me of today? You know why people don't want to get saved and trust Jesus as their Savior? Because they want something tangible. They want some monument, somebody in some priestly garments. They want some Buddha up on their stage. They want something tangible they can see. But you know what? It's by faith we trust in Jesus. Now notice what else he says. Who himself saved you out of all your adversities and your tribulations, and ye have said unto him, nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by the tribes and by your thousands. God said, okay, I've tried to be your king. You know what the Bible tells us? That God wrote Israel a bill of divorcement. He said, I'm divorcing you. I'm done. He said, I'm done with you. And you know why? That's how we have the New Testament. God put them on hold. Now, God didn't destroy Israel. He just put them on hold. And matter of fact, He's going to deal with them during the millennial reign. He's going to deal with them throughout the ages. Amen. Now notice, if you will, what's happening is that God was rejected by Israel to be king. And because of that, Israel now is going to be in trouble. And God said that He went to His own and His own received Him not. You know what happened in those days? I'll read this one for you. Judges chapter 21 verse 25 says, and in those days there was no king in Israel. Now notice what happened. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You know why people don't want Jesus Christ as their Savior? Because they just want to do what they think's right in their own eyes. Amen or oh me. Well, I don't want nobody ruling over me. You know why you don't want nobody ruling over you? You want to live wicked. You want to live fleshly. You say, how you know that, preacher? Because that's the way we'd all want to live without Jesus. Because my flesh, boy, it don't take me long. All I got to do is not read my Bible one day, not pray one day, and all of a sudden my flesh gets a little fatter. literally and figuratively. But listen to me this morning. Jesus says, hey, I'll be your king. He says, I'll be your king. And Israel said, no, we're good. We're going to pick Saul. He's such a good guy. He was good for about the first month. By the way, I'm going to say this, and I may get in trouble, but that's all right. Is this, I believe America said, just give us a president. And I'm not saying it about this, I'm just saying it about all of them, really. You know what, sometimes we don't even pray about our president. We just go in there and mash a button. Well, I'm Republican, so I'm going to pick a Republican. I'm a Democrat, so I'm going to pick a Democrat. I just close my eyes and go in there and go... But listen to me, here's what America said. Well, just give us somebody who can take care of the economy. Come on. I don't care who you voted for, just say amen. If you don't say amen, we'll know who you voted for. Now listen, here's what's happened to America. America has said, you know what, just give us somebody. But listen, I believe it's time the Christians said, hey, give us somebody who has some moral values that's a Christian. That's how I want to vote. But see, we want to be like Israel a lot of times and say, well, we just want somebody who will better us and fight our battles for us. That's why we're in a mess we're in the country in the last 10 years. Listen to me this morning. Is the reason the mess we're in as Christians this morning is because we have rejected Christ as our King. You say, well, I'm saying... kingship salvation this morning. I'm not preaching that now. I'm preaching that if you're saved this morning, Jesus wants to rule on the throne of your heart. And Jesus wants to, His kingdom is you this morning. His kingdom is you. By the way, we say a lot of times, well, one day we're going to crown Him King of Kings. I want to tell you what, my friends, I believe this, that Jesus is already King. He's my King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I hope that He's yours this morning. I have no idea where I'm at. But it felt good. But notice what God did. They made light of it and they killed His servants. Now God's mad, verse 7. You ever rejected your parents? Twice? I did once, but twice was very rare. Amen? But they rejected God twice, and God said, I'm done. The Bible says that He was wroth. His wrath was infuriated. Now notice what happens. That God says, because they did not come, He said in verse 9, He said, now servants, I want you to go out into the highways and as many as ye shall find and bid them to the marriage. Whew. You know what that means? That's me and you. Now, in chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Boy, thank God this morning that it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, black, white, green, yellow. It doesn't matter that Jesus Christ said, if you'll call me, I'll be your King. I'll be your God. I'll be your Savior this morning. There's two types of people in this world. There's people who receive Jesus Christ and there's people who reject Jesus Christ. There's two types of people in this auditorium this morning. There's those who have received Jesus Christ and then there's those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And you've said no to the King of Kings. You've said no to our Lord and Savior. But listen to me. Here's what happened is that He said in verse 9, He said, go therefore in the highways. Basically, God said, whosoever. Ooh, glory. By the way, you were no good before God found you. Pastor preached last week on those old filthy rags. That's what we were. We were dirty, rotten rags, and our righteousness amounted to nothing. Until Jesus Christ became our Lord and our Savior. I'm so glad this morning that I'm saved, aren't you? You know what? Some people always say, you know, preacher, when Jesus saved me, I was in the slums of life. Then there's other people that say, you know what? I was in the church pew when Jesus found me. It doesn't matter where you were at when Jesus saved you. I know where you were at. You were lost. You were at a crossroad in your life. And Jesus came and He beat upon your heart door with the gospel message. And He came by the Holy Spirit of God. And He said, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that's what Jesus said. And you said, I'll take that way. I'll take that highway. I'll take that narrow road. You know, I preached a message at one time. And some people take my messages wrong. I know you wouldn't believe that, but I preached on Broadway. And everybody thought I was going to preach a musical. But I was preaching how people choose the Broadway over the narrow way. You know what? The Bible predicts that there's going to be more people in hell than in heaven. Because He said that about the narrow road, and few be that find it thereby. Wow. So if you're on the narrow road this morning, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you're a minority. You realize that? Boy, that ought to just make you feel better. You know what? That you are God's child this morning. You're God's child if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want you to notice what happens in the story. It's kind of takes a turn because there's a man who comes to the wedding. Can you imagine going to this wedding? I can just, you know, I always try to picture things in my mind. Here comes this man, and he overheard some people talking about a marriage, and he said, you know what, brother, I'm gonna go check it out. He goes walking in. Some men come up to him and say, oh, wait a minute. He's not in wedding garments. Me? Me? Yes, you. Me? You say, why in the world would they do what they did to this man? Because it's a good illustration of how the Bible says a lot of people is going to come in my name. But here's what he says. Now notice the verse. Notice this. It says, in verse 11, it says, and when the king came in to see the guest. Now by the way, can I just give you a freebie? Okay, you won't have to pay me for this one, all right? No padded handshakes for this one. But here's a good little tidbit for you that God gave me. The king came to see the guests. By the way, the only judge of people is the king. Me and you can't judge and say, you know what, Brother Clark, I don't know. No, God's the judge. Jesus knew that that man shouldn't have been there because Jesus he didn't see his earthly garments. He saw that he was not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now notice what happens here. He says, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, don't you like how Jesus even treats the lost people? Amen. By the way, if you're lost this morning, Jesus says, friend, amen, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Now notice what else he says here. How comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? Now notice this, and he was speechless. By the way, when the lost world gets before God and God says, why didn't you trust Jesus Christ as my Savior? There is nothing they can say because the Bible says that Jesus is going to open up the books, plural. He's going to open up the books. He's going to open up the Bible. He's going to open up the book of life. And when he opens it up, your name's not found in the Lamb's book of life. And whenever you try to give an excuse, the Word of God, hey, listen, there is no excuse for not trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, preach, I don't care if you're a paraplegic. I don't care if you're blind this morning. I don't care if you can't speak this morning. I don't care if you can't spell this morning. There is no excuse for you not getting saved. Well, preacher, I'd get saved if. Well, you need to get rid of your if and you need to get rid of your but. Amen. I would, but. I would, but. Hey, listen, you've got to get rid of that because today could be the day that Jesus Christ comes back. Waiting on it. Hey, my family's all right. We're all saved. Amen. I hate it for some of my family that's not saved. And I'm praying for my family that's not saved. But listen to me. Nothing is hindering Jesus from coming back. You realize we might not have a night service? Well, somebody may be here, but I won't be here. By the way, if the rapture happens, you can have my clothes. I'm talking to the people on the internet that's lost. Not nobody here, right? Because I'm going to be gone. Amen! Miss Roberta, somebody else has to play piano. I believe church is going to go on after rapture anyway. There's still going to be TV preachers. You can go home and watch them. Amen. Hallelujah. Now notice what he says here. He says in verse 13, he says, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now notice this. You say, who are the chosen? The chosen ones are the ones who chose Jesus Christ. That's the chosen ones. You say, well, I believe in election. Well, I do too. I believe that, here's election for you, all right? Is that God has elected everybody to be saved. That's it. All people, right? But here's the thing. God gives a choice. And you've got to receive Him. You realize that Jesus comes to you this morning and He says, I want to be your Lord and Savior. I want to rule and reign in your life. And He says, all right, what are you going to do? It's on you this morning. You know why the choice has to be on you? It's because God's a faithful and righteous judge. And he's a faithful and righteous king. What a sad story. A man comes to this wedding. By the way, let me give you another verse. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want to give you these. John chapter 10. I want you to notice what happens here. Verse 10, I believe, is, or chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1, I believe, is a good illustration of what happens here. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is as a thief and a robber." By the way, I think there's a lot of people sitting in churches all over America this morning who think they're okay with God. But they came about it the wrong way. And at the judgment, they're going to be revealed. Whatever judgment they go to. Amen. If they go to the great white throne judgment, they were lost. If they go to the Bema seat, hey, you're saved. Now listen to me this morning. Here's what's happening in America. A lot of people think, well, I can come to Jesus by baptism. Wrong. Not in the Bible. Well, I can come to God in by my good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. So I can't come that way. Well, God help us if you had to come by good looks. We'd be in trouble, amen? What if we had to come by prestige? Or what if we had to come by riches? We'd all of us in here this morning, we'd be lost. If you had to pay your way to heaven, all of us would be lost. This young man comes and he cast him in outer darkness. Why? Because Jesus, the King, looked at him. The King is the one who makes the rightful judgment. He's the one that makes the righteous judgment. And he said, that man is not clothed in the right garment. What garment should you have on this morning? You should have on Christ's righteousness. You know, I remember as a young preacher going to Lakeland Street Baptist Church. And I remember Pastor Crawford standing up in the pulpit and preaching this time and time again. He'd always use his coat. He'd always take his coat off. Everybody that's from Lakeland, you remember this. And he always gave this illustration. I was always thinking, man, why does he give this illustration? Every service. It was for me. Because I use it all the time. He said that, you know, here I am with my white shirt on, my own righteousness, so I think. Have you ever taken your white shirt and put it against a new white shirt and realized the white shirt you thought you had ain't a white shirt? It's really a yellow shirt, amen? And he said that we are in our own righteousness, we're filthy rags. We're God cannot look upon sin, so God cannot look upon us. But yet He bids us to come to His Son and bids us to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and we take Jesus as our Savior, the Bible says that Christ gives us His righteousness. He clothes us in His righteousness. That way when God looks at me, He doesn't see me anymore. He sees me in Christ's righteousness. Now listen to me this morning. That's what happened to this man who came to the wedding. He didn't have on the right garments. That man thought, man, I'm going to wear a white shirt. And he walked in and he realized, my garments don't look like theirs. By the way, the world ought to say, you know what, my garments don't look like theirs. I'm not talking about your outward clothes this morning, even though it's a good thing. But I'm talking about the righteousness of Christ in your life the world ought to see. This morning, I want to speak to the Christians just for a moment. Is that Jesus Christ wants a throne in your heart. You realize this morning that Jesus could choose to live anywhere, but yet He chose to live in us. Isn't that amazing? That through the Holy Spirit of God that He lives in our life, He said that we're a tabernacle, we're His temple. And Jesus wants to rule and reign in your life. But some of us have rejected Him. Even as saved people, we can reject Him as a leader in our life, as a having the preeminence in our life. Jesus says, let me be king. This morning, Jesus is saying, let me be king in your life. Let me be king in your life. I promise you, He'll lead you and rule you in the right perspective, in the right way, in the right paths this morning. You ever looked at your own life and said, you know what? I can. Boy, I take a pen sometimes and I think of all the things that I did in my life without God. And I go, ooh, oh, those didn't end too well. Some of them I'm still reaping on, amen? But then I go back and I say, yep, that was the will of God for my life. And I think, boy, how may not have been the smoothest ride, but it ended well. And God wants to bless your life this morning. And God wants to rule your life this morning. But you got to say, Lord, here am I. And by the way, to the lost people, I got to tell you something. I got this old song out. Bill Gaither back in his day wrote some pretty good songs. And he wrote the song, The King is Coming. The King. Oh, I had to mention food and sing a song. Pastor always does that, so I got to mark this. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. And soon His face we'll see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me. I can hear the chariots rumble, and I can see the marching throne, and the fury of God's trumpet spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal's rolls are now unfolded, heaven's grandstand's all in place, heaven's choir is now assembled, start to sing Amazing Grace. The King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and soon His face I'll see. The King is coming, the King is coming. Praise God, He's coming for me. Listen, He's already got a kingdom, my friends. I'm just waiting to go with Him. The Bible says that one day I'll rule and reign with Christ. Where do you think I'm going to rule and reign with Him? In His kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. And by the way, the King is coming. You say, well, I'm not scared of Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You need to learn that one. Because I'm going to tell you what, when the King gets mad, you don't want to be on His left side. You want to be on the right side. By the way, I think the thief on the cross showed us that you want to be on the right side. Amen, because that's the place of promise. That's the place of promise, and that's the place of power. That's where I want to be. The King and His kingdom. What is it? Well, it's you. You can be His kingdom today. But you know what? One day we're going to be in His great kingdom on high. I can't wait till John. John on the Isle of Patmos looked up and he said, I see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And you know what John saw? Jasper walls. Amen. We'll sing that song. But John saw the King of Kings. You know what changed Isaiah's life whenever Isaiah was going through the slums of his life and going through the sorrows of his life? You know what changed his life? It's whenever he said, I beheld who? He beheld the Lord. He beheld the King. And he said he saw His vesture. He said, high and lifted. And it changed Isaiah's life. You read Isaiah's writings from after that, and he's a different man because why? He saw the King of Kings. And he said, I'm going to serve the King of Kings. This morning you need to realize that there, by faith we can see the King. And I can see Him coming. I can hear the chariots rumbling. Amen. I can hear the trumpeters going, no, got to get it just right. The Lord one day is going to step out on the clouds of heaven and say, come up hither. And the only people that's going to rise that day are the people who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Say, preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, you know what? I got good news for you today. You made a right choice by coming to church. You're in the right place at the right time. You say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus Christ, but I want to do it today. When we start singing in a minute, why don't you come down front? Nobody's going to embarrass you here at this church. We'll take you privately or sit you there and we'll put you one-on-one with somebody with a Bible and show you what God says, not what I say, not what Brother Tim says, not what Brother Clark says, but what God says salvation is. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've just been playing church. I just been coming to church. I know I'm not saved. I've been coming to church. Listen, this morning, you know what I like? God saves church members just as well as He does anybody else. You realize that I was pastoring in Alabama. Alabama fans are here, hallelujah, saved people. Hey, praise the Lord. I was pastoring in Alabama back in 2001-ish, 2001, 2002. Our pastor had come in and preached a revival for us and went home that night. My wife was sitting on the bed crying. Man, what do you think? First thing, what did I do? Did I forget the anniversary? No. I went through the list. I was like, no, I don't think I missed anything. So I went over to my wife. I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, because our pastor preached on the love of God cast out all fear or something like that. I remember. And she said, I'm a pastor's wife, and yet I'm not saved. I said, are you sure? Of course, you know, as a pastor, you know, if anybody else comes to us like that, brother, we'd say, oh, we want to get them. Oh, hallelujah. Let me show you the Bible. But when it's your wife, you say, no, babe, you're just going through a stressful time. It's just doubt. The Lord, the devil's making you doubt. But you know what? I could see it in my wife's eyes. And I got to lead my wife to the Lord. Right there on our bed, and she prayed and asked the Lord Jesus Christ. She had been a church member for many years. She had been a pastor's wife for about 2 years. God saves pastor's wives too. I've seen missionaries come to missions conferences, and I've seen the missionaries' kids or the missionaries' wives come down. I'd be like, boy, they're really going through a tough time. And they say, no, I got saved. Can I tell you what? That happened to my pastor. My home pastor got saved after 20-something years of pastoring. I'm telling you, it happens, my friends. Is that the devil is so deceiving, who hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You know how he blinds your mind sometimes? Oh, you're okay. You're all right. You're a good person. The old devil will tell you that, but listen, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ, you need to come today. Because I promise you, and I want to make this with all that I can say in my heart this morning, that Jesus Christ could come back this very day. You say, don't put it off and say, well, I'll come back tonight, and you say, don't do that. Because I promise you, there's a lot of things that can happen between you, between tonight and today, or today and tonight. There's a lot of things that could happen. You need to get saved. Then there's the Christians in here say, preacher, I know I'm saved without a shadow of a doubt. I know that I'm saved. That's me this morning. I know I'm saved. But you know what? Sometimes I don't let Jesus rule where He really needs to rule. And that's in my life. This morning, maybe you need to come and say, Lord, it's not my kingdom anymore. It's yours. You rule and reign it ever how you want to. Be careful when you say that. Because God will take you up on your offer. I said that one time, and look where I'm at. I thought I was just going to be a firefighter all my life. That's what I wanted to be. And I went down to an altar at Faith Bible Baptist Church in Century, Florida. All the Floridians said amen. And I knelt before a holy God, and I was 19 years old, 18 years old, something. And I came and I knelt at that altar and I said, God, whatever you want to do in my life, except send me to Africa as a missionary, I'll do it. And God heard my prayer that day. And God said, you know what? I want you to be a preacher. And I did as Moses did. I said, but Lord, you know, I don't talk very well. I use all the excuses. And God said, no, I want you to be a preacher. So be careful when you ask, because God may ask you something of you great. Something like, He wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. He wants you to be a faithful church member. He wants you to be that. Maybe He wants you to be a great soul winner this morning. Maybe He wants you to be a great mother, a great father, a great husband, great wife this morning. That's what God wants from you. And the only way you're going to do those things is to say, Lord, here am I. Let's stand this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We love You. God, You've been so good to us. And Lord, as this parable says, Lord, that You came to Your people, and Lord, they received You not. And so, Lord, it opened the gates for all of us. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Father, I just can't help it in my heart this morning to just feel that there may be somebody here this morning that's never come to that place in their life where they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I hope they realize this morning that we're not here to embarrass them or to force anything upon them, but Lord, we do want to give them truth. And Lord, show them how much You love them that You gave Your only begotten Son. And Lord, this morning I know that You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, we rest upon that promise. Lord, I pray that You would just send conviction through Your Holy Spirit upon those hearts that are like that this morning. For Your Christians this morning, God, for Your children. Father, there's some here that may just need to give over their heart and their life to You.
And Lord, allow You to rule in their lives. Lord, we all need that. Lord, we ask that You be with this invitation now, in Christ's name. If you look up here this morning, page 153, I surrender all.